I'd like you to take your Bibles tonight and turn to Jeremiah chapter 18. It's a very familiar passage of Scripture. You've heard me and others preach sermons from these six verses. We sing songs about it. And I'd like to read the first six verses and then share a truth. Again, I've read this passage of Scripture. I preach from it. I've heard others preach from it. In fact, we had a revival one time with a man named Jimmy Walker, who came and preached for three nights from this passage of Scripture, the potter and the clay. But if you have your Bibles, Jeremiah chapter 18, the Bible says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, 'Rise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words.' Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, it seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel.'" And again, I've read this many, many times, and I was reading through the book of Jeremiah last night and came to this passage of Scripture and noticed something that I never noticed before. And you know, you feel kind of dumb when you do that because you know it's been there. And you say, how come I never noticed that? That sure is a good truth. That sure is a blessed truth. It sure encourages me. How come I never seen that before? And so I'm going to share with you, and I don't know if you've seen it. If you have, you can tell me and just be a reminder of the truth that you've already seen. But if you're like me and haven't seen that, I pray that it'll bless your heart tonight. Of course, you know, again, you've heard the story. It's a story about clay, about a potter who molds that clay into vessels, a story about making a vessel. The vessel was marred, so it was broken and made again. And, of course, the application in Jeremiah's time, it tells us what it is in verse 6. "O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel." The nation of Israel at this time needed to be broken and remade. They had turned away from God. I mean, they were God's chosen people. And God, you know, promised Abraham. He said, I'm going to bless the earth through you and your descendants. And the nation of Israel were the descendants of Abraham, and God wanted to bless the earth through them in all ages, and especially as they were looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. And they had turned away from God, and so God was not able to do with his people what he made them to do. And so they needed to be broken. They needed to be remade as a nation. And God sent Jeremiah down to the potter's house so that he could see that happening. And with the message, I can do that with my people. I can do that with the nation of Israel. Of course, we also know that same concept, same idea, same process, whatever you want to call it, applies to individuals. We sing the song sometimes. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will while I am waiting, yielded, and still. And so we are, in a sense, clay. God is, in a sense, the potter. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And whatever term you want to use, I mean, you can call God an architect because he designs our life. You can call him the builder of our lives. I've said many times from this place that each of us were born with a purpose already in mind by God. He needed something to be done. He had us born to fulfill that purpose. And what we need to do as individuals is, first of all, get saved, because like Brian prayed in his prayer, I mean, that's God's desire. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so, you know, we need to admit that we're a sinner and understand there's a penalty for it. believe that Jesus came and died in our place, and then confess him, call him on him and receive him as our Savior and get saved. Every person needs to do that. That is the first step in God's plan for every person's life. There's not a person that's born that's not in God's plan for their life. That's, again, why that verse is in the Bible. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So we need to get saved. And then we need to find out why God made us. What was the purpose behind why he made us? Find out what that is and then get about doing it. Get about, you know, you say, preacher, you believe we're one purpose individuals? No. I mean, I know, you know, those of us that are fathers, he has a will for us being a father. For husbands, he has a will for us being a husband. For you as mothers and wives, same thing. I mean, you just can't say, well, Brother Terry was born for one purpose and one purpose only. He has a lot of purposes. But there's a plan that God has for his life that God wants him to find what that is and get about doing it. And just like for him, for all of us, and I know some of you might say, well, Brother Leonard came in tonight and Robin says, how's the old person? I said, well, they're getting along good. And they told me it was an inside joke. But you might say, well, I'm an older person tonight. And I'll say it. The fact that you're still here, I don't care how old you are or how young you are, God has a plan for your life. And again, we need to get saved and we need to find out what that plan is and get about doing it. As long as you're still here, God is not done with you, and we just need to get about doing it. So we are his work, the clay in the hands of God. And it is a work. And I'll just remind you, the story of the clay in this particular passage and how it was prepared back in that day shows that we are a work of God, and God is a patient potter. Because back in that day, when you first dug the clay from the ground, it's probably true today, it's not, you just can't put it on your wheel and start molding it. What they had to do is they dug it up, and then they brought it into to a building where it sat for several weeks outside inside from all the elements, inside from all the weather. So they dug it up, and then they brought it inside, and they let it set for several weeks to dry out. Then they would put it in troughs or containers, and they'd put it in water and soak it in water for a while. And then they'd stir it up to where it just became a real slimy substance, and then they'd drain off all the water. And then it was a little bit pliable at that point, but it wasn't pliable enough to mold yet. And so they would let it set for another 6 months. And then after that 6 months, they had a device that they beat it with. It was like a pump organ. They would pump pedals, and this machine would just beat this clay. Like you were kneading dough, they would knead this clay, and again they'd let it set for a few more weeks, and after that period of time, it was ready to go on the wheel. It was ready to be molded, and so you can see it takes a long time. It took a long time to get that clay ready. It took a long time to where it was flexible enough and moldable enough that a potter could make it into a vessel that he wanted to make it. Now, I would tell you tonight, for the most part, that's how God works with individuals. Now, I know there's some people that get saved and they immediately, you know, start serving God, and we should. But the process for God to make us into what he wants us to be usually takes some time. It usually takes some preparation on his part to make us moldable into what he wants us to be. Sometimes we, and again, that process shows the patience of God. I mean, most of us weren't overnight sensations. We weren't stars that appeared on the scene and were ready to serve God, you know, the day after we got saved. We had to go through a process to get prepared. to accomplish our purpose. And we've heard a little chorus. We sung it. Some of the kids have sung it. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the earth and sun and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be, because he's still working on me. So we finally get to that place where, you know, we're flexible and we're moldable, and God makes us into something that he can use, and we start working for God, and we're happy, and we say, boy, this is it. I have arrived. I finally got to the place where God wants me to be. And then it seems like something happens. A tragedy, a sorrow, a heartache, a broken dream, a shipwreck, a disaster. And we're broken. We're broken. And this is not the truth I want to share with you. I'm going to get to that in a minute, but I just want to set the stage. But this is a truth just as well as the one I want to share with you tonight. It's only when people and things are broken that God can use them to accomplish his will. Remember what Paul said? He said, I haven't arrived yet. I'm still pressing toward that mark. And when Christians think that they've arrived, get ready, because God's got to break them. Because he uses broken things. And we see that over and over in the Bible. I mean, Jacob didn't become what he needed to become until he wrestled with that angel of God all night and his thigh came out of joint and he limped. Then he knew that it was God's strength that he needed, not his. Moses, I mean, when he was 40 years old, you know, first 40 years of his life, he spent in Egypt being trained in Pharaoh's court. And he knew he was an Israelite. He knew that, you know, and he thought, as we read other places in the Bible, that at 40 years old, God wanted him to lead his people out of Egypt. And his plans were dashed. I mean, you know, he ended up killing an Egyptian. The people didn't accept him. He had to run. And for the next 40 years, he was a broken man living in the wilderness, tending sheep. And he had to realize that, you know, that it wasn't him that was going to lead the nation of Israel out of Egypt. It was God. He was going to be God's spokesperson. He was going to be God's leader. But it wasn't his strength and his intellect that got Pharaoh to release the people. It was God's. Moses couldn't have done the job at 40. He was too full of himself. He had to wait until God broke him. And he spent 40 years tending sheep in the desert before he was ready to accomplish what God wanted him to do. Same thing for Paul. You remember, he had that thorn in the flesh. Some people think it was his eyesight. Some other people think it was he had fits of seizures. Nobody knows what it is, and I think it's good that nobody knows what it is so that we can identify with him. He said, I got this thorn in the flesh. And he wrote in 2 Corinthians, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I'm strong. And Paul realized it was only if he was broken that he had to depend on God every single day that God could use him. And again, example after example of people being used by God after they were broken by God. Same thing for the things that are in the Bible. Jesus fed the 5,000 after he broke the bread and the fish. Mary was able to anoint the body of Jesus and prepare it for the sacrifice that was going to be on the cross only after she broke the alabaster box that had the precious ointment in it. It had to be broken. Even, just think about this, even Jesus had to be broken before he could accomplish the task that God sent him to accomplish. In the book of Isaiah, as a prophet was looking forward to what the Messiah was going to accomplish, he used words like this to describe the Savior. He said, he's going to be despised. He's going to be rejected of men. He's going to be a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, stricken, smitten of God, afflicted, wounded, bruised, chastised, oppressed, cut off, forsaken. I mean, the Savior had to be broken. The psalmist described him a worm and no man, poured out, melted, pierced. And all those prophecies, both in the prophets and in the Psalms, of course, were fulfilled when he was crucified. He was broken to the point of death and spent 3 days and three nights in a tomb. And why? He had to be broken to save us. He had to be poured out in all the terms that the book of Isaiah used to save us. And he said, "For this cause came I into the world." He said, "I've come to seek and to save that which was lost." And the only way I could save was to be broken before God so that I could pay the price for your sin. And the book of Hebrews tells us that Jesus is our example. It says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." I mean, he had to be broken on the cross to pay for our salvation, to be able to go back to heaven, as Brother Leonard prayed a moment ago, sit at the right hand of God and be our advocate, be our lawyer, be the one, the captain of our salvation at the right hand of God. He had to be broken in order to accomplish that purpose. You know, when Jesus was telling his disciples about what was going to happen on the cross, you remember Peter said one time, "No, that ain't going to happen. We're not going to let that happen to you. I mean, we'll protect you. We will defend you. These things that you're talking about, we will not let happen in your life." And you remember what Jesus said to Peter? He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan. You don't savor the things of God." What Jesus was telling Peter, no, I've got to do all these things. I've got to be broken. I've got to be rejected. I've got to be crucified in order to accomplish the plan and the will of God in my life. He said, "That's why," and again, he said, "That's why I came. You can't protect me from this. I don't want you to protect me from this. I understand that I've got to be broken before I can do what God wants me to do." When things come into our life that breaks us, we want them to leave. We argue like Paul did, as he talks about in Corinthians. He said, he went to the Lord. Remember, he said, "Hey, I could do better if you just take this thorn in the flesh away. I mean, I could be a better preacher. I could be a better teacher. I could be a better witness. I could be a better Christian if you just take this thorn in the flesh away." And that's how most of us are. We don't want those things in our life that break us, that keep us dependent on God. In the same way, when they come into the life of those that we love, when they come into other people's lives that we care about, I mean, we want to rush to their aid. And we want to relieve the trouble. We want to relieve the heartache because we don't, we don't want them to suffer. I mean, you know, we want to do it for our kids. We want to do it for our parents. Again, those people in our life that we care about and we love, we'd like to protect them from those things that break them. And I was reading this passage yesterday, and I saw something I never saw before. I mean, I've read the words. I've preached from this passage of Scripture. But if you still have your Bibles open, look at Jeremiah 18. Verse 4. And here's what it says. And here's what I want you to notice. "And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter." Was marred in the hand of the potter. Now you might read that and think, well, The potter made a mistake. He pressed too hard, or whatever he was trying to create, he didn't hold his hands and his fingers right, and he messed up. And that's what it means. The clay was marred in the hands of the potter. Well, that may be true in the human setting, but that's certainly not true in the analogy that God's making to him being the potter and we are the clay. God doesn't make any mistakes. I mean, as he molds our life, he doesn't press too hard. He doesn't, push his fingers in the wrong spots and therefore has to start over and remake us. God, our potter doesn't make any mistakes. And what spoke to my heart was, when God sends things into our life and we are marred, so to speak, and broken, we are marred and broken in the hands of God. In the hands of God. You see, I may be broken, but I'm broken in the hands of God. I may suffer a tragedy, but I'll suffer it in the hands of God. I may have a great sorrow, but I will bear that sorrow as God holds me in his hands. My dreams may be broken, but my dreams will be broken and I will be held by my God. I may ache and I may hurt and my life may be a disaster and I may be marred because God has to break me to depend on him. But I am all of that in his hands. And that, and I, when I thought about that, I said, man, what hope, what joy, what comfort. Whatever comes into our life that he has to put into our life to break us, to get us to depend on him, we are in his hands. Jesus said in John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And I'm so glad that we have that eternal life. I'm glad that we can know that we're not going to go to hell, that we have that eternal life in Jesus Christ. Then he goes on to say, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Once you get saved, you're in the hand of God. And everything that happens in our lives, some may be some it's the bad things, I mean the things that we would deem bad, we are in the hands of God as that happens. Then Jesus said, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. I and my Father are one. And so here's the blessing, here's the joy. We get saved, we are in their hands. Nobody and nothing can get us out. And God doesn't make any mistakes. So as I am broken and marred in the hands of the potter, it's not the hands of the potter that make a mistake and cause the breaking. It's the hands of the potter that hold me up while I am being broken. It's the hands of the potter that protect me as I suffer those things in my life that I have to suffer in order to break my will and draw me closer to God. In Isaiah chapter 64, verse 8, the Bible says, but now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou art potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. Of thy hand. And we are. I mean, again, he made us for a purpose. I mean, there's a reason that you and I are here. And we have to be broken. I mean, as long as we have our will, as long as we are full of ourselves, we cannot be used of God. We have to get to that point where he breaks us and then is able to mold us and make us into that vessel that he can use. But as he does that, and this is the thing that spoke to my heart, we are in his hands. We are in his hands. To the potter's house I went down one day and watched him while molding the vessels of clay. And many a wonderful lesson I drew as I noted the process the clay went through. Trampled and broken, downtrodden and rolled, to render more plastic and fit for the mold. How like the clay that is human, I thought, when in heavenly hands to perfection is brought. For self must be cast at the dust of his feet before it is ready for service made meet. And pride must be broken and self-will lost and laid on the altar, whatever the cost. But lo, by and by, a delicate face, O wonderful beauty and exquisite grace. Was it once the vile clay? Yes, yet how strange. The potter has wrought so marvelous a change. No trace of the earth nor mark of the clay. The fires of the furnace have burned them away. We're the clay. He's the potter. We are in his hands. I don't know about you, but it blessed me. What an encouragement. What a joy. Thank you for being here tonight. Let's stand together and have a word of prayer. Be dismissed.